Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Day one of Falcons training camp. We're broadcasting live from Flowery Branch, the pretty much the same spot that we're normally in. Like, yeah. If you've seen us here before, we won't be hard to find. You're going to walk right past us on your way either into practice or out of practice. Slightly different spot just because the brand new weight room that they built, which looks really nice through those windows. But day one in the books, had a chance to talk to Coach Raheem Morris at the beginning of the show. We'll let you hear that conversation coming up in 20 minutes. We'll close things out with an AMA at 1:40.
I'm still crazy because of the location where we are versus the location where we used to be. And I'm just like, that we were literally in the middle of the weight room right now before they expanded the building.
Which wouldn't be too bad. Be a little cooler in there, probably.
I'm 100% sure it would be. But it's been fun. The first hour, obviously, we were out here for 2 hours after the show. Nobody's here, but the first hour is always
first
fun.
Hour makes it
first
worth
hour
it.
Makes it worth it. Getting a chance to meet the fans and I think we talked about it yesterday. We'll be out. 929 The Game will be out here on Sunday.
Right.
And I think it's Young Dylan and Big Mike that are going to be doing the show out here on Sunday afternoon. So if you're make sure you stop by and say hello. But, it's the first day, one day down. I thought I read this morning the Falcons in the studio are the last two teams to report to training camp. So all 32 teams are in. Yeah, all 32 teams are in.
What's that about?
Right there. I don't know. I have no clue.
What determines that? I mean, you can't do it before a certain day.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Hall of Fame game teams get to go first because they play first.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's always interesting.
Well, they didn't think they needed any extra work? What are we doing, phoning it in already, Randy?
That's a great question. I don't know why. I don't know why they went to – I don't know. But
I'm sure there's got to be X amount of days that you can do, and they get all the days that they're allowed to do one way or the other.
Yeah. You know, my man Ra and his performance team.
It's got to
be the performance team.
Or maybe it's because it's Georgia. I don't know. It's hot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. No, it's not like it's any cooler today than it was yesterday.
No. But it's cooler than it's been.
Maybe it is cooler than it was yesterday, actually.
It's cooler than it's been.
I know.
It's still damn hot.
It is very hot. But it is a little bit, and there's like a little breeze, too. Like, because there's going to be days over the next couple of weeks where we're out here.
It's going to be 100 next week.
Where it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. It's
going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's 100 next week.
We were up early this morning. We were on the front porch. And the sun was, like, just coming up, and there was, like, a little breeze, and it wasn't even all that humid. And I was like, if this is what today's going to be like, this is nice. And it's been okay. Like, it's been better than normal. But, yeah, we're going to pay for it.
Yeah,
get a decent day, you're going to have a day next week where it's a million degrees.
We got to do some adjusting with this. My man Gordo, you out here. We got to do some adjusting with the tent set up right now because the sun keeps going over and it's creeping on me.
Yeah.
You know
first
I'm
you started on
yeah,
this side yeah. and the sun was on your back and then you moved.
Yeah, we got to figure something out.
Now the sun moved.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do this. Maybe you do, like, the first hour from there.
Yeah.
And then you move over here for the final.
Yeah, we got to figure something out. We got to figure something out.
Or I'll just sit in the sun. I'll work on my tan.
I don't want you to sit in the sun.
How come?
Because I don't want you to sit in the sun.
I'm just offering solutions.
I understand that, but I wouldn't do you like that. I can see where Gordo's sitting there, but I don't want Gordo because Gordo, outside of anybody, Gordo's here at 5 a.m.
Yeah, he's been here a long time.
Yeah, well, Gordo's been here all day, so I don't want to put him out. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah, right, bring an umbrella.
But this is the test run day, really, because it's our first time out
here. It's true. It's the first day.
Like
new location.
So we'll get it figured out.
That is the one difference between the last location and this one. The last location, we had a big-ass stage and a big-ass tent.
Because I didn't know.
And it had drapes and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't realize what the setup was going to be. That's the first I said, damn. That big-ass tent going to be out there. I swear to you, I thought the first thing I thought.
But the problem with that tent, though, was – well, I loved it, but the problem was the guy that normally did the engineering of the broadcast back in the day, Eric Davis, and I'll call him right out for this, and I hope he's listening. The final half hour of the show, he'd start putting up those sidewalls.
Hell yeah.
And it was a damn sauna in there.
Yes.
Like, this little side breeze that we have is pretty nice. He'd start closing us in.
Yeah,
by 2 o'clock, we'd be sweating our asses
sweat
off.
Like hell. Like, hey, dog. I knew you tried to get out of here like we tried to get out of here.
Eric was always in a hurry.
If you don't let that damn air flow through here, man. They're baking our ass.
The other thing that we're not going to get with Gordon versus Eric is Eric, at least once during training camp, would be sitting right next to us talking so loud on the phone. And I'd be like, hey, man, we're on the radio. Like, everyone can hear you on the radio right now.
It would never
having your loud-ass conversation.
It would never say my bad.
No, of course not. And then the one other thing that would always happen with Eric, and again, I do hope he's listening because this is all just direct shots at him. I haven't seen him in a while. Is something would go wrong. Like we would drop. Like the audio would drop. And he'd be nowhere to be found.
Yes.
Remember that one time we were at the golf tournament and we dropped off the air and he's at the driving range hitting golf balls?
Hey, like,
we're like, Eric! Eric, we're off the air!
And he'd come right over, hit a switch, and then come right back on. Like that damn happened.
I love that guy.
I love the death, man. I love that dude so much. But that's exactly how I would be like, well, damn. And we just talking, and then they get the text back in the studio. You guys are not on, you haven't been on the air for like a minute.
Yeah, we know. We don't know where Eric is.
Yeah, we can't find Eric.
Dressed like he's going to a nightclub on a Wednesday at training camp.
Tucked it tight. Tucked it tight. And that shit, Eric type of dude tuck his shirt in his drawers. Hey, took his shirt and draws.
Oh, God, I hope he's listening. All right, let's get to the big story of the day. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
It was great, like me and him just giving each other just so many tips and you know, just feeding off knowledge from each other on the field. And, you know, we worked for the whole month. So, like, I got to see how he worked. He got to see how I worked. And we got to put it together. And, you know, it was just really cool, like, you know, two guys coming together just trying to make each other better. And, you know, he taught me a whole bunch of nuanced moves that I got to learn on the field. And, you know, I did the same with him. And I think it's just really cool, like, having a vet like McCaffrey, you know, be a brother to me as well, and so I can learn, you know, all the cool things that he's done on the field, and you know, and vice versa. So it was really cool to work with him this summer.
Awesome. It's Bijan talking about training with Christian McCaffrey. I like it.
I love it.
Type of player that we like.
Yeah, it's a big gift for Christian because he got to stay healthy, man. He got to stay healthy this year. But there's so much alike because they can do so many different things on a football field, and I think Christian is probably still. He's one of the most versatile players I've ever seen, you know, as a running back. And so is Bijan. And from what you read about Bijan today in practice, he's putting on a damn show. But that's what he does. He's a special football player that you do everything you can to get the ball in his hands, just like when Christian McCaffrey's healthy. Because the last time he was healthy, he was NFL Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, they went to the Super Bowl.
They went to the damn Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's the type of player and impact player that he is. And I like Christian, so I hope he stays healthy. But, no, Bijan has the same abilities that Christian has, and Bijan has the ability to be the offensive rookie. He was third in rushing,
considering
that the guys in front of him, I rushed about 500 yards.
They did.
Yeah.
They had very special years last year.
They did.
Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry both had very special years last year. But I don't – honestly, like, you know, if I ever get too far ahead of myself with Bijan, rein me in.
All right.
It's not crazy to think that he could be offensive player of the year in the NFL. Right?
No, it's not.
He's talented like
that.
Yes,
he is.
I think that's one of the best things that Michael Penix has going for him as far as a security blanket goes this year.
I agree.
Not that you want to think about a guy's security blanket, but for a young quarterback to have a great player like that to just hand the ball to. Now, the run game has to get going, and the offensive line has to be able to make that work. And I understand the pass game, it all works together. But, I mean, what – better, I guess, outside of just having like an all-time great offensive line or something. But what better to have a young quarterback as a help, as an aid, than a running back like Bijan Robinson?
Oh, no doubt about it, man. That's a quarterback's best friend.
It's got to be, right?
It's got to be, dude. He's going to catch so many checkdowns and everything like that. I mean, and that's going to be one of the things where all you got to do is get him the ball. And very rarely is the first guy going to get him.
Yeah.
If he sees him, very rarely is the first guy that's going to tackle Bijan.
And often it's going to be a really fun highlight.
Yes, it is. So, I mean, that's the fun thing about having a guy of his caliber
it's true.
In the backfield, man. But, I can't wait. I love me some Bijan. I loved him in college. I love his running style because it's effortless, and yet it's really powerful how he's shifty. He finds creases, and they're like, what the hell? How'd he get through there? And then he's out like that. The one thing we need this year, I think, more is more explosive runs.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. That's
20
right.
plus, 30. Because that's how Saquon got to where he was.
Yeah.
All of them
Henry
big
too.
Ass runs. Him run, them big ass runs.
They do it different, right?
Yeah.
And now Saquon's powerful too. Don't let me take anything away from him.
Yes.
But he'll make a guy miss and then break out.
Yes.
Henry will just run through five guys.
But the thing about it is.
And he's fast.
And he's fast. He got that top speed. Oh, you remember we were laughing about Coco, the young lady who got engaged to Donovan Mitchell? Last week we were talking about how all the guys were – Coco Jones, how everybody was all set. Now everybody mad because Taylor Rooks got married.
And, oh, did she?
Yeah, she got married. Good for
her. Congratulations
to
Taylor.
Was like, what?
I saw that she's a free agent. She's going to be whoever she was working with.
I think she's
with.
On
We were talking
Amazon.
About this at SEC Media Day.
She's going on Amazon, isn't she? Or NBC?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I thought she went with Amazon already.
I'm not sure. But if she's out there, if she's, she's going to get a huge contract.
It's a lot of depressed fellas out there because they ain't know.
Yeah,
you know why?
You guys didn't even know.
You know why? Because she kept it to her damn self.
Yeah, no,
they got married, and so everybody's like, "Man, I didn't even know." Like you had a shot if you did know.
Let me ask you this:
yeah.
What would have been different had you known?
You know what I'm saying? Like, because you think, would you have pulled a Dwayne Wayne and Whitley in a different world? Baby, please
ruin the wedding.
Yeah, you know what I'm
saying? That's not good.
Well, you gonna fall for that like that?
Because if you love her like that, you already slid in her DMs.
Yes.
You already did that. Yes. You already embarrassed yourself online and slid in her DMs.
Yes.
So what? You would have just done it more convincingly?
I don't know.
Had you known?
I don't know.
I always love that. Yeah. I always love the one that was my favorite one was when Nia Long and Ime Udoka broke up, and all these guys were like, "Yes!" It was like. What do you think's about to happen?
I mean, you think she's available for your ass?
What do you think's about to happen?
Yes.
Dude. Although that would be the greatest thing ever, though. If like one of those guys that was excited, that's just a random, whatever person, regular person.
Yes.
Just to hit on her at the perfect time, because that's all you need. You just need that little,
You caught her coming out of a Starbucks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you said that perfect
then
line.
Then you're like a damn stalker.
Yeah, right. Most days, you get a restraining order. But you get that one day, you make that perfect line, and it's you and Nia forever.
You know how many
that's
guys,
how these people
you,
think.
You know how many, guys actually thought like that? Like,
it's true.
I know she goes to 24-hour fitness on Wednesdays. Maybe I can get in that yoga class with her.
If you know anything about her whereabouts, you are a creep.
You are a creep.
You're just a creep.
You need some problems.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Hang on.
We got some stuff to give away.
Yeah, we are. We're going to reward people for listening to us. We're thankful. And we want to say thank you in prize form. Be caller number 6 right now, 404-726-0929. You're going to win a family 4-pack of tickets to the 2025 Leagues Cup Phase 1 match between Necaxa and Atlanta United. Or maybe it's Nakawa? I don't know. Necaxa and Atlanta United at 7:30 on Wednesday, July 30th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You'll also receive a Georgia Lottery gift box. Caller number 6 right now, 404-726-0929. Tickets are provided by the Georgia Lottery. Today could be the day. Tickets are also on sale at Ticketmaster.com. And that's what a live read sounds like when you read it for the first time on the radio. So we're all in that together. We'll be right back. We'll let you hear what Raheem Morris had to say to us earlier in the show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, congratulations to Tyrone from Douglasville. Tyrone was caller number 6. He's going to the League's Cup match, courtesy of you and me, Randy, at Mercedes-Benz, coming up on July 30th. That's a 7:30 kickoff. If you did not get tickets, if you are not Tyrone, you can go to Ticketmaster.com and you could buy tickets there. All right, 20 minutes away, actually more like 15 minutes away from the AMA. So get your questions ready. Any question, any topic. We're out here in Flowery Branch live at day one of training camp. So if you want to ask anything about stuff we may have seen or heard from out here, go ahead and do that. Or any other questions, as always, on the AMA, 404-726-0929 in 15 minutes. We did kick off the show by catching up with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris right off the top, so we wanted to give folks that maybe missed it a chance to listen back. Started off by asking him, you've been in the league for a little while. You've had a lot of different first days of training camp. Does the first day of camp change as you go on in your career?
No, man. It's hard to say it changes. You know, this is always a really good time of the year. It's always a really good time to get your team back out there and let those guys get ready to go. And then when they get out in practice, you see them moving around fast, see them move around quickly, be able to get back, make some corrections, get all the stuff you want to get done, and make sure you can throw a great camp, man. It always feels the same, that same energy, that same juice, that same sense of urgency for the guys that are ready to go out there and play.
What was the message to your team last night? Because usually you have a meeting for the first day of camp, that night meeting, when get everybody in and all those things. What was that meeting like?
As you know, Randy, last night is the meeting that the players don't necessarily love.
Yes.
Right? It's the one you go through all of the stuff you got to go through as far as – you know, the docs, your equipment, your coaches, your everything, the quick install so we can get ready to go out there in the grass the next day and to be able to do those things. But realistically for us, it was about us, how are we going to move and, like, doing things what we want to do and not necessarily have to tell anybody about it, right? Let's be able to go out here and be able to get our guys going. Let's go out here. Let's execute. Let's be the best versions of ourselves so we can attack this season.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live from Flowery Branch, first day of training camp. We're going to talk to a bunch of your players throughout the course of camp. We're probably going to ask each of them, what did you do this offseason to try to improve, to try to make sure this season's your best and all that? What does a coach do in an offseason to try to get better from where he was to where he's trying to go to?
You always start with self-evaluation. You always start with, you know, looking at some other people, what they did really well, go steal some really good ideas. There's a lot of really great coaches in this league. There's a lot of great players in this league. And you can go study just about anything you want. You know, obviously, there's always great room for self-improvement. You know, whatever you do for your health, for your body, for your mind, for your mental state, for all the things that's really important to what we do as an athlete, what we do as coaches, and what we do as an organization, I think is some of the most important things you do. I happen to have some of the great leadership that I have. When you're talking about Arthur Blank, being a lean on his experience, being a lean on Terry's experience, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, all of those guys' experiences you can lean on, different things, different aspects of life, different walks and ways to do about your business. I just think are always things that you can really help and be helpful for. And you take your time as you go through the offseason, you just go through those things and you go through that checklist every year to make sure you can come back a better version of yourself.
You have a young quarterback. We saw him play the last three games and obviously comes into this offseason number one guy. What do you hope you learn from him this summer? Because obviously it's his job and he is the leader of this football team, but what do you need to see from him day by day as we get ready for the season?
He's really started it already. You know, it's just the leadership and the ownership of the offense and getting these guys out there and getting together and him, his voice becoming bigger, right? His voice is becoming bigger every time he steps in that huddle. His voice gets bigger every time he makes a correction to a wide out, a running back, the O-line, a protection, whatever it is. Every time he talks to Zach, every time he talks to me, every time he communicates situational ball, like we're able to display there at the end of practice in the Mamba period. You know, you just love the fact of watching him grow and develop. And still, every single time, you're so impressed with the poise of the young man. That's just outstanding.
What do you think fans are going to see from him, Penix specifically, that they got the three-game sample set. You got a chance to see him a little bit, but still pretty unfamiliar with what he is. What do you think fans are going to see from him that they don't know yet?
I think, Andy, these guys got a chance to see it today. They got a chance to see him unleash a big arm and throwing it downfield and really stretching the field. You know, you're talking about a guy that can throw every level of the field, every layer of the field, and be able to get that up. You know, but the important part for him is focus on his completion percentage to make sure we can make the layups, to make sure we can keep the drives going and go down the field. But as you know, man, he can unlock it. He can uncoil. And when he has the ability to do that, we got to be able to come down with some of them big shots down the field.
I want to talk about your defense because the Stallworth is gone. It's been here forever. A lot of new guys. A lot of names that nobody knows yet. Can you tell us a little bit more about the D-line? Well, obviously, Anyamata was here a couple years. But
sure.
All the other guys seem to be a little bit unknown.
You know, we're talking about some of the unknowns, but you got to talk about some of the knowns first. The Jesse Bates of the world, like a consummate leader in this league, a consummate leader on our team, a pro, all-time, one of those guys that just makes plays no matter what. And then a guy that's really grown up here in A.J. Terrell. And the leadership that he brings, the presence, all the stuff that he has. And then you got to go to Caden Ellis, the steady improvement throughout his career, starting as a part-time player, really getting here and flourishing as a linebacker. Last year, flourishing as a pass rusher and a rush guy for us and having the ability to do some of those things. And then you throw in a bunch of young guys, right? And now you add that second-year class, that first-year class, and it's exciting. Get a chance to see Brandon Trice today and Rook really get out there and go out there and Dorless and some of those guys kind of add to the party. Before we even mentioned the Georgia Bulldog and Jalen, and you're talking about Pierce, and then you talking about some of the guys that we added in the secondary with Watts. Like, it is an exciting thing on defense. Talking about young, fast, hungry, which I've been around before and had a lot of success with, and I am really excited to see what Jeff Olbrich, our defensive staff, can actually pull out and go out there and do some really good things with them.
How many rookies do you like legitimately expect to be contributors on defense this year?
I would say all the guys we drafted, for sure. You know, and there's always some guys that can definitely come out there and shock you. You know, Billy Bowman, and when you're talking about White, talking about some of the productive, like whatever you want to call them, secondary players. What are you talking about, stars? What are you talking about, you know, in the back end of the safety position? Those guys have been big-time contributors in college football and getting the ball back. And that's something that we got to improve in our defense as well as our pass rush. I hope we address that within the first two rounds. And the team started last year. We're talking about the guys we just mentioned, and the Trice and the Brooks and the Doris. Right. Like, those are the things that you want to get going. You know, obviously adding a veteran like Flo really helps you with some of that presence that you lost from a guy like Grady, a guy that's been able to go out here, another Georgia Bulldog, a guy that's been able to get up, have a lot of production in this league, won a Super Bowl with this young man. He comes in here, he brings a certain tempo to practice, he brings a certain tempo to the game, he brings a different edge. I think all of those things are really important when you talk about bonding these guys together on defense.
I saw a couple of guys just starting a PP, middle linebacker Trey Anderson. Is it just precautionary? Is something you're going to like put him in like slowly as the camp goes along?
Yeah, Troy's kind of one of those guys who kind of knew where we're going to be. We're going to start off on the pup list and get him going. But he is absolutely on schedule and he's ready to go. And you got to get out that heat.
I know, man. I'm in training camp. I did my time in the Sunday training camp.
We got to move your tent back.
No, when you leave, I'm sitting over there.
Sorry, but Troy, he's right on schedule. You know, starting him on pup, seeing where that goes, let that play out the situation. You know, but we got some guys back there right now in that linebacker room. You know, JD, we got a taste of last year. He gave us some real production when he got a chance to go out there and play. You know, getting him back healthy is a big critical part for us. Going out and get Diablo, who's been really impressive in training camp and the offseason program and the things that we did there. And then obviously we mentioned Caden Ellis before.
Maybe this is a two-parter just with how Kyle's doing now. And that being what leads to the answer to the question, but what's the key to Kyle Pitts being his most productive self?
I think it's just us putting our best efforts together. When I say us, it's about us, it's about Kyle, and it's about really an organizational approach to try to get the best version of Kyle, right? And then we're trying to do that right now. I think I love his attitude. I love how he's come back. I mean, you got to be honest, man. Let's sit here and be one, right? It's tough. You're going through trade rumors. You're going through the production fighting, trying to get it back from what you did as a freshman or rookie, excuse me. You're trying to move to that needle again, right? Like, we see it. He has the talent. He has the explosion. He has the it factor. We got to mentally get it all together and bring that to the field. And hopefully this is the year that we can unlock it. And what a year would it be for him to unlock that.
How do you get the best out of Bijan by not just putting all it on right now? Because, you know, he's a bell cow. I remember we had Joe on a couple years. Last year you were talking about how sometimes you got to slow him down. How do you get – because he knows how to get – he's a professional, Rob. But, like, taking some reps off of him so he can be as fresh as possible.
You know, we were talking about this the other day and we were joking about it. But Ty Lajeer allows you to do that, right? Ty Lajeer allows you to unlock a different force to your offense. It allows you to take a little bit off of Bijan. You can play those guys together. You know, I can't think of two better friends in our football team than that room and that team and those guys and, like, what they do together. So, like, using those two guys and being able to utilize guys sometimes together, sometimes opposite, sometimes playing off each other, sometimes situationally, I think it's, like, a big key for us and a big advantage for us to be able to go out there and get it done. You know, Bijan is extremely special. Like, you know, he takes off load off the receivers because of what he can do out the backfield. He takes loads off the running backs, so what he do in the backfield. And then the biggest shock to me keeping coming here was his protection. Like,
yes.
No idea, no clue that he was able to stick his face on people and be able to put people down the way he is in the protection game, and that is a really important thing and a really important trait.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. First day of training camp, live from Flowery Branch. How should we think about or analyze Kirk Cousins' role? Obviously, he's the backup quarterback. Is it as simple as he's what Penix was last year, or is it more complicated than that?
You know, it's different. You know, you got a guy that's played a lot of football in this league, a guy that's going to sit there and be a consummate pro. And I think it's a little bit bigger outside our building than it is inside the building. You know, when you're talking about inside the building, you're talking about a guy that's going to come to work. He's going to do exactly what he's going to do. He's going to be prepared. He's going to practice the right way, do all the right things, right? Outside of the building, it has a little bit more noise because of how the situation had panned out, right? He was our expected starter, a guy that can come in and play. It didn't play out that way, right? You got to play the best player on the football field at all times, and that's what we're doing. Right now, Michael's the hot man. Right now, Michael's the guy. Right now, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's taking over as our number one. And we drafted him to be that. And I'm really excited about our guy. I'm really excited about what he can do and who he is as a player.
Every year, Rob, there's somebody who surprised you. And usually, I know in my time, there's always that unrestricted free agent.
Sure.
Now, they've been here this spring and everything, going through all the off-season conditioning. Do you kind of have a sink like this guy right here? I know we didn't draft him. He was undrafted. But he might be able to have an opportunity to be on the 53.
Coaches are always worried to talk about that.
Yeah.
Particularly at this time of the year, right? You know, but there's a couple, right? We had a real niche in the offseason after the draft. We wanted to go and attack some people and get some really good players and some really good players to come join this football team. That hints going to go out and get a guy like Kobe Bryant, who what we thought would be drafted, going to get a Verdon who we thought would be drafted from Iowa State, going out there getting a Nash who was the Biletnikoff winner and led the league in receiving. So, like, I want to let these guys go out there and play it out, but it's an exciting young undrafted free agents along with this rookie class that really fires you up. And, like, to add it to some of these guys and to add them to those rooms to see if they can develop their roles and find their way, it just fires you up as a coach, fires you up as a fan base and everything else.
We appreciate the time, Coach.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Great stuff, as always.
Hey, you get your butt over here. I assume. Get him over here sweating, man.
We'll get him in the shade.
You know, we got to move his seat.
Yeah. Quick pass in a hurry.
All right, let's hear it for Coach. Head Coach Raheem Morris, nice enough to hang out with us here on the first day of training camp live at Flowery Branch. Right off the bat, how do you like that? Great way to start.
Yeah, man.
Great way to start camp. That was Raheem Morris from about 11 o'clock this morning. Not tomorrow. We won't be here tomorrow. We'll be here Tuesday and Thursday next week.
Correct.
When we're here Tuesday and Thursday, we'll talk to various players.
Yes.
We don't know who yet. Kind of find out the night before, and then we'll let you guys know. But always fun, always really good conversations, and love getting a chance to talk to Coach right off the bat. All right, we want to talk to you next. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. AMA, ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Woo! Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. We got a couple phone lines available if you want to jump on hold and ask us a question. 404-726-0929. We'll start with Mike, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
Bob, early 80s, I definitely had that concentrated orange juice. I know exactly what you're talking about. And okay, they had good. That Orange Tang powder that you can make orange juice with that, too.
Yeah.
I got you. But quick question. So now with NIL, I heard Prime said on one of the shows, college need to play with the same rules in the pros, 2 feet down to catch the ball and can't get up and run. It's just ridiculous. So what's y'all's opinion on that? You're paying them. Make them play with big boy rules.
I agree with that. If I fall down, let me get my ass up.
Yeah, I don't like that rule.
I hate that rule. I hate that rule so much. Because sometimes the ball is thrown, you got to go down to a knee and catch it sometimes, and then you're down.
Yeah, it's so silly in college.
I think it's one of the dumbest damn rules ever.
I don't know. I kind of like the one-foot rule, though. I like the one-foot inbounds rule.
I hate it.
You want to make them do two?
Yes.
They'd never catch it.
Fine. I hate the 1 foot rule.
You do?
Yes. Big. Now it saved.
That's one of the things I like about the difference in the rules.
It saved our ass though. When Lawson Lucky on the sideline had the 1 foot.
Dude, it saves people's ass all the time in college.
It does.
Which just kind of makes, I don't know, it's just the NFL's just harder.
Right.
You know, certain things just to me need to be a little bit harder, and that's one.
Were you a Sonny D guy?
Nah.
Yeah. Okay.
Nah. Never really. Never did a lot of Sonny D.
Me neither.
I think Sonny D was kind of expensive.
It was overrated, too.
Oh, yeah. It didn't taste good because it wasn't orange juice.
Yeah, because my little white friend, his mama used to buy Sonny D.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
So you just thought maybe I did, too.
I kind of did.
Yeah. You thought the D stood for... Trying to think. It's a white D word.
And she said buy it, but then she had it in the little personal one. So that was like...
Even more expensive.
Yeah, no. I was like, she was like, hi, guys. Want some Sonny D?
No. We didn't have that.
Hey, you know, hey, don't be going to get spoiled, boy. We drink Kool-Aid over here.
All right, Dan's in Marietta. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Just got a couple questions for you guys. Based off what you guys did see so far at camp, defensive-wise, got confidence in the offense, but how do you guys feel about the defense this year? Do you feel they're going to rise up? Two, with the guy who just was talking about college football, how you guys feel about the targeting rule? It's just a lot of questionable calls that I see with that. And it just takes, to me, you know, it kind of deflates the defense of playing defense and those big hits, those big booms. Now, some of them are questionable. Some of them are a little out of whack, so I can understand that. How you feel about that, fellas?
Thank you, Dan.
I freaking hate targeting rules. Yeah. I especially hate that they throw them out of the game right there. It could be a clutch moment.
Yep.
And sometimes not even on purpose. You know what I mean? And I really, really hate that part of it. As far as the Falcons defense, we talked about that pretty much most of the show. Don't know.
Don't know.
And I think the biggest part we don't know about is that interior, that front. Yep. Not the front seven, the front.
Yep.
Because don't know who's up there and a lot of inexperience.
Young. I mean, just really, really
the
young.
The youngest group on the field.
Yeah. You're going to be – and the reality is we're going to be asking a lot from them because they have to play well enough in order to – you know, in order for the team to win games. So they're going to have to learn quick and get up to speed quick, and they're all going to be out there. I mean, we asked Raheem about it. I said, how many rookies are you expecting to legitimately contribute to this team? And he said all four of them. But I should have prefaced, like, considering that Dorlas is pretty much a rookie and Trice is pretty much a rookie and even Rook is pretty much a rookie, like, half the defense is going to be rookies, Randy.
Yeah, man, I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's hard to – all right.
But they're going to have to play.
Not a ball.
And they're going to play, man.
Yeah, man. They're going to have to play a lot. All right. Tinker's in Kennesaw. Hey, Tinker.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Tinker.
Hello.
Hey, y'all. Handling that heat all right?
Ah, fine.
We some soldiers. We some soldiers, Ryan.
They got free water.
Yep. You just got to go walk a mile and get it.
Yeah. Hey, with the passion of Hulk Hogan, did y'all like him better as a babyface or a heel?
I mean, I liked him because I was younger, but I remember Bash of the Beach when he turned heel, and I remember everybody was so upset about that. He's a horrible heel. He's just horrible. He just didn't fit the mold of a heel. But he was the most boring wrestler in the world of his because you knew what he was going to do. He's going to get beat up the whole match. The guy was going to stand over, punch him three times, then he was going to get up, shake his head, shake his body, and then he would point once the guy hit him, throw him against the rope, then he would punch him 10 times. One. Then after that, he would throw him against the rope. He would come off, hit him with the boot, and then the leg drop.
What was his
leg drop?
His leg drop was the big move.
Every single time. Every single time in a big match, that's what Hulk Hogan would do. He get beat up the whole damn match.
And then just to build the suspense.
Yes.
And then he'd come back unexpectedly. Yes. All right. Rock the Laundry Man is on the south side. Hey, Rock.
Hey, how's it going, Andy, Randy?
Pretty good. How about you?
Great, great. Hey, listen, got a question. With the recent passings of, Malcolm Jamal Warner and then Ozzy and then, the other passing, is it an urban myth that death comes in threes? Is it an urban myth? Is it coincidence or is it real?
I don't know. I know both said it. I've never used the phrase before.
I've heard it.
I think I heard it with Bo.
I think it's one of those things that if you're looking for it, you can find it.
Right.
This obviously, these guys are all big stars, and they all died in, recent succession. And I don't know, maybe there's some tie because they were all really big in the 80s, maybe. I think that's one of those things that if you're looking for it, you can put it. It doesn't necessarily mean someone else isn't going to die. Also, people die a lot.
So it's part of life.
It's how it ends. Everybody dies,
What the little boy said, kindergarten cop, everybody dies,
Everybody dies. There was a lot of good lines in that movie.
Yes, it was. It's not a tumor.
Boys have a –
Yes.
Girls have a –
What a wonderful
That's a big
guy.
One at our house right now. They're all learning.
Yeah, especially because she's still young.
Yeah, she really gets a kick out of it. And I do too.
Yes.
I'm such a juvenile delinquent. All right. Sean's in Alpharetta. Hey, Sean. Sean.
Hey, guys. Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Quick question for you. I got a bone to pick with you guys. Not necessarily you, but with the whole station.
All right. Pick
Why
away.
Why is there not more Atlanta Dream, conversation? They have a winning record. Alicia Gray is like dark horse MVP candidate. And I get the Braves are more popular, the Falcons are more popular, but I'm just like, based off of their success this season and what Alicia Gray is doing, what Griner's doing, kind of making a comeback, just why is there not more coverage?
You answer your own question.
Thank you, Sean.
You answer your own question, Sean. That's why. Because basically we have a young lady that calls in and everything. I don't watch it.
Yeah.
Now, I saw that last night, Brittany Griner, saw the highlights. Brittany Griner went back to Phoenix, which is great and everything like that. But you're absolutely correct. Alicia Gray's having a great year.
Yep.
They're playing really, really well. We just, it just is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can answer it for us. I mean, I don't know for everybody, but we just kind of the stuff that we are most familiar with and that we spend the most time watching.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to I wouldn't want to pretend, and I want to come on here and fake it.
No, we're never fake.
You'll know, you know. And you know, I mean, we've had some conversations about the dream, and Ryan Howard's been on the show a couple times, and all that. But I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff we don't talk about.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that happens in Atlanta that we don't talk about. It's no disrespect.
Yep.
Tyrone is in Douglasville. Hey, Tyrone, is this the same guy? Same guy that won?
Yes, it is, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh,
yes, it is Tyrone in Douglasville.
Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, I want to say thank you for the tickets, first of
all.
I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
And I'm going to have to agree with Andy. Back in the day, yes, you go to the freezer section, you buy the orange juice or whatever type of juice, you pour it into the container, you pour water in it, you stir it up, and it was delicious.
Yeah, I saw.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Tyrone.
Thanks, Tyrone. I can remember Gordo showed me the picture. I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Like you said, it's like in the old biscuit thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like
biscuit,
a little
old biscuit thing.
Like a Pillsbury thing. And you open the top, and you it was always hard to squeeze out if it was real frozen.
Yes, I know.
You had to
kind of
squeeze one side and then the other side, and then it would plop in there. And then you'd have to stir it up until all the ice was gone.
Yes, I know exactly.
But if you put a little less water in there, then it was stronger orange juice.
Ah.
And that was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean.
Or when you got to college, you just – that's kind of one way you could make like jungle juice.
Yeah.
You put that in a cooler and pop a couple of those in there, like the fruit punch concentrate. Made it taste pretty good.
Okay.
Like an Everclear and some fruit punch concentrate.
Everclear and some fruit punch.
And then some mistakes would be made. And then people would make mistakes. Verbal is in Atlanta. Hey, Verbal.
Hey, guys. I was calling. My question to you guys was, with everything happening, man, with the deaths and the wars and stuff, how difficult is it for you guys to stick to the topics of sports, which we greatly appreciate? We know that's the job. That's why we come to listen to hear about sports. But, I mean, I want to ask you guys, like, what is something that has happened outside of sports where you find it kind of difficult to stick to topic because it was, you know, it's something that you really wanted to talk about outside of sports?
Thank you, Verbal.
Nothing?
No, I mean, anything that we want to talk about, we just will.
Yeah, we talk about it. We don't have any restrictions about what we talk about.
We have at various times gone into, I don't know if you call them political, but it's stuff that we care about that we've gotten into. But I personally find it refreshing to be able to come on here and just kind of lightheartedly have fun every day for 3 hours.
Yeah,
my wife's a producer at CNN, so we talk a lot about that kind of stuff at the house. And, you know, she likes to come home and not talk about that stuff too.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I'm just – I mean, my whole thing is I talk about what I want to talk about when I want to talk about it. And a lot of times whenever this political stuff comes down, I don't feel like talking about it. You know why? Because I don't want to go back and forth with you about it. You ain't going to change my mind and ain't going to change yours.
Yeah, you know.
That's how I view it.
Yeah. All right, Tyler's on his way home from camp. Hit Tyler.
Hey, Andy and Randy. Two questions. Got to give some love for my Yellow Jackets. Sorry, Randy.
You don't have to apologize. Hold on. You don't have to apologize.
also, I want to say, Tyler, like the last couple days, pretty optimistic Yellow Jackets conversation from this show.
Yes.
Not just me. Both of us.
I think it's kind of trending nationally, and I'll say this. Historically, when we get national good and, like, publicity and everything, we don't go over too well.
I knew you were going to say that.
So we usually kind of crap the bed on that one. But I would say over-under is 7.5 right now, and it's juiced towards the over.
Wow.
Oh,
would you take it yes or no?
I like the over.
Yes.
Also, on top of that, they're third in the ranking to get to the ACC championship. Curious of your thoughts on that.
Well, you remember I mentioned yesterday. We talked about it yesterday. I was like, I think Clemson's a clear favorite. When I said Tech, SMU, Miami, those three right there, so they are going to be in a race to play Clemson in the ACC championship. That's what I truly do believe that Georgia Tech can be one of those teams.
Yeah, you win one of two of those games that you're looking at, like, it's going to be a tough one, you go to the ACC championship.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of games where Georgia Tech is the clear better team on the field this season. Like, which, again,
they got Clemson at home.
They have a pretty favorable home schedule. And then, again, there's just a lot of teams in the ACC that are on their schedule that they're just flat out going to be better than.
Yep.
Like, Brent Key's done a really good job recruiting and retaining and transfer portal and all that. Like, yeah, man. No, I don't know. Don't be scared of it. Tyler.
It's all right, Tyler.
Don't be scared of it.
They're okay. It's okay to be good.
Yeah, be optimistic. It should be a pretty good year this year. And if they crap the bed, don't blame me. Okay, it wasn't my fault. I jinx them.
Randy, you don't have to apologize for your sports take. I'm not gonna get all the person. Only person that got to say sorry is Skip. That's about it. Other than anybody got to say sorry. Love your team.
All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
Love your team. I lost my paper. Basically what I was lazy eyes ain't for everybody.
Dang it.
But they are for somebody.
Dang it. That was mine. Even beauty's in the eye of the beholder, even if you have a lazy eye and hairy legs.
Yeah, man.
So many takes on that one. So Bijan puts people down by putting his face on them. And some people like him seeing left and hairy.
Yeah, man. That's my boy. Love you, man.
Everybody's got a type.
Yep.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 11. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.